Welcome to the Relationship Academy, your go-to podcast for answers to all your relationship struggles, where we talk about love, emotions, connection with yourself and others, everything that is otherwise swept under the rug, because it affects your relationship with yourself, and anything that affects you affects your relationship with others. And at the Relationship Academy, we help you make relationships better.
And this is your host, Neha Soni.
Mr. J is a betrayal trauma practitioner and intrapersonal relationship coach. He holds a master's degree in education and is a certified special education teacher and author of a children's book, I Am Loved Right Where I Am. His childhood was anything but success. After years of drugs, alcohol, and years in special education, Mr. J quit school in sixth grade. Determined, Mr. J put himself through school researching self-help books, therapy, psychology, and spirituality. He learned and stands by his motto, the relationship you have with yourself sets the tone for all other relationships around you. And relationships can break you, but even broken crayons can create beautiful masterpieces. Let's welcome Jay.
Welcome, Coach Jay, to the Relationship Academy podcast. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Ania. Thank you for this opportunity and your time.
Yeah, I am so excited to learn more about your betrayal trauma coaching. And we deep dive in the Relationship Academy. We deep dive into stuff. And I'm so glad that awesome. You are happy to share about your story. So I would love to know a bit about betrayal and whether or not it had anything to do with your childhood.
Most certainly. So as your guests may or may not know, I am a intrapersonal relationship coach. So basically what I do is I help people with the relationship they have with themselves, because I always say the relationship you have with yourself sets the tone and standard for all other relationships around you. I'm also a certified betrayal trauma practitioner. And basically what that does is I just help guide and provide a safe space for people to move through the stages and phases of their betrayal trauma, going from, you know, tears to transformation or obstacle to life, or, you know, breakdown to breakthrough, or whatever you want to say. And certainly, you know, no one goes into a field like this unless they've probably experienced some trauma of their own. And so I think, you know, growing up in a relatively toxic, dysfunctional family, you know, being a product of divorce, you know, multiple abuses along with that. And the fact that my parents had a pretty toxic, bitter divorce as well. So there was no ever, you know, let's sit the kids down and explain A, B, and C, or let's have this talk. It was constantly at one another's throats. You know, we were dragged into the courts and so forth. So, you know, children often, and I don't want to speak for every child in every divorce, most certainly, but children often personalize divorce. They think, geez, is it my fault? Did I add stress to the marriage? Do I cost too much money? Do I eat too much? And so certainly these negative narratives, these internal dialogue makes pokes at your self-esteem, your confidence, your self-worth. Now, in addition to that, even as a default, when you are not in a healthy relationship, you're spending so much of your time, your energy, your emotions, your spirituality, your everything is caught up dealing with this negative relationship. So it's at the expense of your children. So they're already feeling neglect and abandonment, even though that's not the intention whatsoever. As a matter of fact, every decent parent, that's not their intention. They want to ensure their child doesn't feel neglected or abandoned, but by default, oftentimes children are. So certainly, you know, that betrayal and just living, everybody experiences trauma and betrayal on some level. That's what did help me initially first pursue psychology. So I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and then use that as a stepping stone to go ahead and get into coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And it's, I wanna understand how that impacted your relationship, the trauma that you experienced. It sounds really terrible, and a lot of people actually go through that, but they don't necessarily have a chance to fully process that, right? So apart from approaching someone like you, I would want to first know how yourself, like how you were in, how you of course your confidence gets affected, like you share, but how did that impact your relationship when you became an adult? So in your relationships, what happened and what kind of people were you attracting?
Yeah No, that's, you know, listen, we come into this world on a clean slate.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in our childhood, we're given voids. Again, not intentional, but oftentimes our childhood, we experience voids, whether voids from, primarily from our primary caretakers. And what we do oftentimes is we get into relationships in the future and we try to find people that are going to fill those voids. And to no fault of their own, because we should never get into a relationship giving somebody a job, but to no fault of their own, if someone does not fill our void, and oftentimes they don't, because it's not their responsibility, nobody's psychic, and now all of a sudden we have our confirmation bias. So, I knew that I'm not worthy. I know that I'm trash. This just confirms it. Mm-hmm. But really it doesn't confirm anything other than the fact that you didn't do any work to heal. But most certainly we go on a life mission. You know, I tell people all the time, we spend 18 years learning what we learn from our caretakers and the rest of our lives trying to unlearn it.
Cannot be any more true, really. I so agree with that. I had to do a lot of unlearning.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God. And then, the word that comes to my mind is brainwashing. And I don't think of it as a bad term, because it literally means like you need to really erase everything and wash off everything and rewire yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
To function differently.
100%. And that's not an easy task. It's not an easy feat, because it takes being vulnerable. It takes being open and honest with yourself. And in today's society, especially when everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses on social media, we have disconnected from ourselves, even just for survival purposes. So that's no easy feat to get to connect with yourself and know who you are. And then let's face it, once you get to be an adult, now responsibility kicks in. You got kids, you got a job, you got this, you got that, you got a spouse. Who has time to work on yourself? So this is something that really is a lot of hard work, and it's going to take some focused determination.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that you brought that up. Personally, like I share deeply about this in my upcoming book, Wired for Self-Love. And I do remember the day that I woke up to myself this was when I was a new mom. So that was like a wake up call for me. This was over, 13 years now. And it's still that clear in my mind. And then the journey has been meditation and shadow work and a lot of different tools and things. But each person's journey is their own. And they have to take that step and that look inward. Just like you say, they have to do the healing, right? So what was that journey like for yourself?
Well, I'm still on that journey, mm-hmm. but yeah. You know, I might've said before we started recording, you know, I never understood a lot of my family until I took abnormal psychology. And yeah. I think it was, probably, as a teen, going through my studies and like I said, taking psychology and taking abnormal psych that really, I think that was a mirror for me. And that mm-hmm. was, that mirror was telling me, whoa, you are so out of alignment because of the way you were raised, that I had a lot of work to do. And certainly that's what I did. I delved into my studies in terms of doing family lineage to see where the trauma started, and which was phenomenal perspective. You know, just side note, my grandfather lost his father when he was a young boy. And so because of that, my grandfather was forced to pull out of school and work full time to help his mother and six sisters financially survive. Well, my grandfather kind of had a, I don't want to characterize him as a bad person because he was a wonderful human being, but I think he had a sort of disdain for women, because he had to stop his life to take care of women around him. Mm. And so when he got married, that showed up in his marriage, where wow. he wasn't necessarily always respectful towards my grandmother. Well, that was the example my father got. So when my father and my mother met, my father talked to my mother in that same fashion, and that didn't fly with her. So this is what I mean. When you look into your generational, like what's going on, you can say, okay, you know what? It's not excusable at all, but it's understandable, especially, you know, because generational trauma is like a ball rolling downhill. It's just going to keep rolling downhill and actually just go faster unless something abruptly stops it. And I wanted to make a vow that just because I came from a broken home doesn't come from me.
That is so beautiful. I can so relate with that. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is making me think, and like the people may not be able to see this, but I have a huge smile on my face because that's the exact thing that I'm talking about. What made me stop myself and be a different person, choose that, to stop the trauma at yourself and look at the monster that you could possibly become, and how could you otherwise damage and continue to damage another human's life? It doesn't have to be this way. And there is this, the thing you talk about, personal responsibility, is huge. So how did you empower yourself? I mean, through, yes, all of this, this definitely must have brought you a lot of understanding, but then understanding has its place and doing the work is something else, right? Dealing with all the stuff that you did not get to and processing all of that. What was that like for you to understand yourself and love yourself and believe that despite what happened, you are worthy?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, I quit school in sixth grade. There was a lot going on in my childhood. So I quit school in sixth grade. And, you know, after a life of partying and sex and drugs and living on the streets, it was time when I was in my late teens to get serious. And so, you know, I walked into a community college in and attempted to fill out some paperwork for college. But the advisor asked, you know, where's your high school diploma? And I said, well, I really don't have one. And she said, well, do you have a GED, an equivalency degree? And I said, no. And she says, how about a letter from your parents? I said, no, haven't really talked to them in a while. We're not going to get one of those either. Anyways, I can go through the details of that. But long story short, I was able to write out a promissory note that if I didn't prove myself after the first semester, you know, I walked away. No strings, no questions asked. And wow. I did go on to graduate with high honors, which eventually led me to my bachelor's degree. And then I graduated with high honors. And then with a lot of hard work and determination, a master's degree with honors. And one thing that I always say is, listen, I am not more resourceful than anyone else. I am not smarter than anyone else. I'm nothing with anyone else, but I will tell you what my childhood gave me, and that's determination. So I was determined to be a better person, determined to be a better spouse than my examples, determined to be a better parent. So I think determination, and I think you get that, I think unfortunately where I got that from is in my childhood going through the School of Hard Knocks. I always say the School of Hard Knocks is one of the most expensive schools, but boy, they can turn out some pretty savvy students. So I think where I am even today as a military vet, as an author of a children's book, as a very successful coach and practitioner. I'm going on 20 years of marriage next year. I'm an inspirational speaker. I go around to schools and I speak to young kids. Well, at least I did pre-COVID. This has all happened because of determination. You know, not because I stand out. So I know I don't have I don't have anything that no one else does except a strong determination. And I also had that determination to figure out my purpose, which leads me to another thing. I think so many times people think they find their purpose through their passion, but really we find our purpose through our pain. And I believe that's what makes me such a good coach right now, not to pat myself on the back. It's because my pain brought me to purpose. The wisdom from my pain helps me help clients. So certainly I read some books and certainly I have some degrees, whoopee, but it's that relatable experience where I can talk to people on an energy level that makes the difference.
I love that. And you brought out something that is so important, especially figuring out purpose. And you talked about pain. What happens a lot of times is people stay in that pain because that's the only thing they know. And the way to process that pain is to find something that is going to be meaningful, which is then your purpose. Would you agree with that?
Most certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah. People do stay in their pain for a lot of reasons. I agree with you 100%. They might not know any better. It's also scary to step out of your pain. It takes some time and energy, but I will say, and hopefully you don't lose some listeners after saying this, a lot of people enjoy staying in their pain because let's face it, you get some benefits. You get to be a victim. You get to have your story. You get to blame people. You get to now have a justification to why you won't ever trust again. You won't ever love again. So, I mean, being in pain has its benefits. And I think a lot of people enjoy those benefits and decide, I'm gonna stay collecting these benefits. This is where it's comfortable.
Yeah, and it's when you say this, it's like, I feel that in my heart because the people are stopping so much love and trust coming into their life, which could be the most beautiful thing, right? And this
absolutely
is where the relationship aspect is so important. You have to give up all of that. Talk to me a little bit more about that. I love this.
Well, listen, this is what I tell people too. Now, listen, after you get hurt,
Yeah.
You do need some time. You do need some time. You need some time to heal, some time to process, some time to reflect, some time to grow. But you know what? By mere virtue of getting into a relationship, and listen, I don't care if that relationship is with your parent, with your child, with your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor, your boss, or an intimate relationship with a significant other. There's the potential of hurt. There is the potential of hurt. Yeah. But there's also many gifts of love and protection and feel, you know, all this other, you know, self, just, well, love is a huge one. And I tell people all the time, listen, you can't tell me that you haven't been burnt opening up your oven at some point in your life. We've all been burnt by the stove, right? Okay. Does that mean you're going to stop eating for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
No. So yes, we were burnt by the oven, but if we decide we're not going to cook anymore, do you know how much delicious food we're missing out on? So yeah, we get burnt in relationships. We all have. But if you completely cut yourself off to pursuing further relationships, you're going to miss out on a lot.
I love the analogy you're bringing, burnt by the oven. Yeah. Yeah, I love the use of analogies myself too. Okay, you mentioned to me in the conversation you were the middle child. Some of the listeners may be middle children of. So how does that affect you, and how can you specifically speak to that particular audience, if you will? If they're a middle child, how could they help themselves?
First, if you don't mind, really quickly, let me tell you why this is important. Before coaching, I was actually a certified special education teacher. And when you are a special education teacher, you give your students what's called an IEP. That's an individualized education plan. And the reason for that is because every child learns differently. Well, now that I do coaching and I help people on their journey to heal, I give everybody what's called an individual healing plan. So what I do is I ask people, what's your love language? And if they don't know, I give them a little test. I ask them, what's your attachment style? And if they don't know, I give them a little test. And I ask them all these questions. Where in the sibling totem pole are you? Are you a firstborn, the youngest, middle, blah, blah? What hand do you write with? I mean, I ask all these questions. And the reason being is because so many times when we go to see professionals, they try and deal with the trauma. When trauma is individual, what's traumatic for you might not be traumatic for me. And that goes back to, you know, again, attachment styles or what have you. Also, we can go through the same thing and have different depths of trauma. So really getting to know the individual person's history, because, you know, it's said trauma is not what happens to us necessarily. It's our interpretation of that trauma. So I have to go in there and do some, you know, coaching surgery, if you will, on that individual. And one of the things with a middle child is, you know, middle children have their own set of rules. For instance, one of the things that middle children love to do is their job is to keep their family together. So like an older sibling is, you know, that rock that's supposed to, you know, be there for their younger children and be almost the third adult in the family. That the youngest child is the baby, and, you know, they're given their own standards and jobs. The middle child, one of our jobs, again, not for every middle child, but I'm just speaking in general, our job is to keep the family together. So in a divorce, that hits a middle child to a different degree than, say, an older child or a younger child. Because now, not only do you blame yourself for a lot of things, you also failed at your job. You didn't keep it. So this is why being a middle child and speaking to that inner middle child is important.
This is brilliant stuff. I think people will.
Oh, well, thank you. That's awful nice of you to say that.
People will have so much to relate with, my goodness. Talk to me about your work with regards to betrayal in relationships. You mentioned to me it's even more hurtful than losing a a child?
Some have explained it to me that way. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, so again, I just want to say, with betrayal, now, first, let me just say quickly, we could be betrayed by anyone. We could be betrayed by a parent. We could be betrayed by our children. We could be betrayed by ourselves. How many times, did you have a question?
Actually, if you can, because betrayal is maybe I am perceiving it as someone cheated on someone, something like that. But it may not, maybe my perspective on this is limited. So would you like to give examples of what betrayal might
most
look
certainly.
Like?
Yes. Most certainly. Most
yeah,
certainly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say this. Okay, let's just say I'm talking to somebody and they say, you know, Mr. J, I exercised, I ate right, I meditated. I got my proper sleep and I was diagnosed with cancer. So they might think like their creator betrayed them, or they might even think themselves betrayed them because they were doing everything right. They were doing everything right they were supposed to do, but yet their body betrayed them. I have cancer now. They feel betrayed. Mm-hmm. Or how many times in a relationship, speaking of self-betrayal, how many times in a relationship do we see red flags, but we choose to ignore them? Then all of a sudden, you know, the crap hits the fan and things go down. And now we feel bad because we did not honor our red flags. That was a self-betrayal. So really, betrayal comes in all shapes, sizes, and forms. It could be from a boss, a neighbor, a coworker, and most certainly betrayal from a spouse, which obviously is one of the most significant types of betrayals. Now, again, I just want to say the impact of a betrayal from a spouse is not only devastating on its head, on its own, but what's important, and this is key, is finding out what did that relationship represent? Because that's what's being betrayed. For example, if I talk to somebody let's just say male-female couple, and it was the male, the one that did the straying, and I'll say, okay, what did your relationship represent to you? And she could say, oh, protection, he protected me, or provision, he provided for me, or, you know, whatever, self-confidence, doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's not only the betrayal, which is devastating in and of itself, but now this person stole some key things that this person needed, such as protection. Now she doesn't feel protected at all. Now she's scared because she doesn't feel provided for. Now she's scared because whatever that relationship represented, those are the things that need to be addressed. Now, keep in mind, these are 90% of the things that were voids from our childhood, which is why I say, if you continuously work on yourself to fill those voids, you'll be better off as a person, because, you know, the relationship you have with yourself, again, sets the tone for all others around you. So most certainly that is what, that is key, is what did that relationship represent? And let's go and dig into filling the voids of what that betrayal represented. And this is why, when I talk about individual healing plans, is because one of the questions I ask people is, what's your love language? Now, for any of your listeners that may not be familiar with love languages, and I'm not sure you are, basically everybody has, okay, a love language, whether it's physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, yada, yada, acts of service, kindness. So hypothetically speaking, right, let's just say I'm dealing with somebody whose love language is words of affirmation, right? Okay, now let's just say that she tells me, you know, my husband got drunk the other night and had a quick physical fling with somebody. He confessed the next morning. He apologized. He told me whatever I need, I'm going to have, from counseling to therapy to transparency to whatever, and we're going to work on this. Okay, wonderful. Now, don't get me wrong, that's devastating. That is hugely devastating, beyond devastating. But I'll tell you what, if she would have found 30 love letters to that person, or 30 cards talking about how, you know, I see my future in your eyes and I want children, that's going to hurt her on a much deeper level, because her love language was words of affirmation. So her significant other stole her love language and gave it to someone else. So mm-hmm. she's going to deal with it a lot differently than, say, you know, somebody with a love language of physical touch does find out there was physical activity going on. That's going to hurt them at such much more of a core level, because that was their love language that was specifically stolen from them. So everybody deals with trauma differently depending on their individualized healing plan.
Yeah, that's very deep stuff that people need to know more about. So thank you so much for sharing that. It was great.
Absolutely.
It was really great. I think that's your zone of genius, I would say. I mean, I'm really enjoying this conversation.
And wonderful, I am too.
Yeah, talk to me about your relationship, and if you experience betrayal, like a spouse betrayal, and do you have, like you say you're in a 20-year relationship now. Yes. How is that going for you? And what was the relationship like, if you had any betrayals back then, like with your significant other? And how are things now?
Yeah. So not with my significant other. We've been going on, next year will be 20 years. We have two adopted beautiful children. But I was raised with a very close cousin of mine, very close. He was my like a sibling, a best friend. We grew up together. We were in each other's weddings. We were in each other's lives for decades. I mean, this was my best friend. And we went into business together. And I trusted this person more than probably I trusted myself. I mean, and then at one point I found out that my cousin was stealing from me. And I can't even explain to you. It felt like somebody took a sledgehammer to my gut as hard as they could. And it was very shortly after that, they died in a tragic car accident. So I could never get any answers, closure, nothing. And that's the betrayal that I'm going to have to continue and process for a long time, which is why I say nobody on the face of the earth has been not touched by betrayal or trauma, whether it's the big T, the little T, the big B trauma or little trauma. So sometimes, and this is why, you know, a lot of times after like intimate betrayal with a significant other, if somebody's going to reconcile, you have your pros and cons with that. You have your pros and cons. The cons are you're living with your offender, but the pros are is that you can get closure and you can work through that with the person who hurt you. When somebody dies, you're forced to give yourself closure. And that's not an easy task, you know, and that's going to be a process. But as far as my marriage, that's probably the one steady key thing that I've had. Not to say that that hasn't come with its challenges because of my childhood. I mean, I probably spent the first 5 years testing my spouse. You know, are you going to leave? Are you going to leave? Are you going to abandon me like I was abandoned? Are you going to neglect me? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? It hasn't been easy, but you know, like I say all the time, we're not human beings. We're human evolvements. We're constantly evolving. You're a different person you are today than 5 years ago. You're going to be a different person 5 years from now than you are today. So you have to continuously not only get to know yourself, build those bridges to yourself, but also to your significant other, because they're evolving too. And if you don't have that constant building of bridges, 10 years down the road, you're going to be sitting on the couch looking at each other saying, who are you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. And I think what you brought up is one of the most beautiful things about relationships as you evolve. And one of my, I wanted a relationship in which I would evolve and be the person that I always wanted to be, the most loving person I wanted to be, the most I'm just very, very, where I can just pour into the relationship, because I did not have that all through childhood, through whatever. Like, there was no security, no safety, no nothing. But this relationship is everything that I needed and wanted. So it can make, and yes, it, these, like you say, it comes with its own challenges, right? And for the first few years, you were doubting yourself. So I think a lot of people also do that. And they, it's like, I am glad you were, despite what you went through, you're still in that stable relationship, which takes a while and it takes work. I think much of your profession and personal experiences kind of help you, you know, keep that relationship going and evolving. One of the, so I like, I want you to talk about the importance of the evolution, right? Because you say otherwise you're sitting across from the couch and you're like, you don't even know this person, and how important it is to like choose your partner right. And like they say, get the, it's the most important decision you're going to make is the person you're going to get married to, right? So speak to the audience about that. I would love to, like, you know, how mentally people need to be prepared and say, okay, you're not going there. This is not just wedding and that's it. You're going to evolve. That's the mindset. So that's something, if you can speak to me about that.
Most certainly. You know, a couple of things. So I am a wedding officiant. And so I can't tell you how many times. Go ahead. You had a question?
What is a wedding officiant for the listeners, please?
Okay. So so I have the capability through the power of my state to legally marry people, to officiate a wedding. And then what's nice is I also use my coaching for, you know, premarital coaching or, you know, marital coaching afterwards.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, you know how many times I see young people, even in their 20s, I see young people standing facing one another, exchanging I do's when they have no clue who the I am is. So how in the world, world, but isn't it true?
Very.
And listen, listen, even if you have the best intentions and you've done some reflecting, you're still, I mean, that's still such a young age where you are growing in so many ways, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, oh my Lord, in so many ways. So what happens is that, you know, we watch all these Hollywood movies and, you know, we want to find somebody who completes me and who does this and all this other nonsense. That's not marriage.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know what I tell people all the time? I say, marriage is similar to mountain climbing. Mm-hmm. You first look at the mountain and you're like, I got this. Oh my God, I'm going to reach the top. This is, I got this. I'm full of energy. I'm full of zest. I got this. You start climbing little by little. Little pebbles are getting in your sneakers and you're like, oh, these are annoying. Oh, these pebbles are annoying. You climb up a little more and you're like, wow, this is tiring. I had no idea how much hard work this was. Then you start climbing some more and you got some blisters now. So you got blisters on your feet and you're tired and you're hungry and you're groggy. Then you look to the left and right and you see somebody who's very attractive. You're like, whoa, what's this? So you got to decide, I can either get off the mountain right now and fulfill the lust of my flesh, or I can keep with this and keep climbing that mountain. But what people don't understand, like you, nobody knows the future. You don't know what in the world, what challenges you are going to come across in your marriage. There's a lot of them. You're going to be tired. You're going to be aggravated. Listen, you know what I tell people all the time? If you have not, And many people disagree with me, and that's fine. This is my own theory. If you have not went in the bathroom and cried and put your head in your hand and said, I'm not sure this is going to work out, I don't think you're in a real marriage, because marriage is hard work. Marriage is very hard work. But it's not how many times you fall off the horse that matters. It's how many times you're willing to get back on and say, let's give this ride another try. There was two famous people one time and they were interviewed. It was their 50th anniversary. And one of them asked, what is your secret? And she said, well, there was a couple secrets. Number one, divorce was never an option. Divorce mm-hmm. was never an option. Murder was, but never divorce. That was a joke, obviously. And the second thing she said, which is so true, is she said, if you do not have two very forgiving partners, yeah. I don't know how a marriage is going to work. Because listen, intentionally or unintentionally, your spouse is going to hurt you. Your spouse is going to offend you. So you have to go into it with a spirit of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I also try and tell, especially the young married couples, I don't know if you can necessarily affair proof your marriage, but you can do everything in your power to ensure affair is going to stay far away from your marriage. So again, when two people are in front of each other, exchanging I do's, even though they have no clue who the I am is, they expect each other to be psychics and know everything that, you know, whatever. Meanwhile, what the other one wants them to complete them and help them fill their childhood, you know, voids. And the other person's clueless of even know how or what voids you have. And the other person's expecting the same thing. No wonder why we have a divorce rate almost 50%, you know, in this country, at least. But anyways, so yes, marriage is a lot of hard work. And I apologize, I kind of digressed and went off on a tangent. So I forgot the original question you asked, but I'm kind of passionate about young marriages because I do want to give them a fighting chance. Because I'll tell you something, you can reach that mountaintop. You can yeah. reach that mountaintop, scars and all. And marital scars are beautiful scars.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did answer my question. So that's great. Like it is. Yeah. I have really, really enjoyed this conversation, Coach Jay, Mr. Jay.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, where can people find more about you and how can they connect with you?
You know, I think I have one of the easiest websites to remember. It's simply MrJRelationshipCoach.com. Obviously, I'm on all the social medias, you know, the Facebooks and the Instagrams and all that stuff. I do upload a free weekly video. I call them my Vitamin J's. On YouTube. So, and I cover topics, everything from dating to divorce, to relationships, to betrayal, blindness, betrayal, you name it. And that's on YouTube every week. Like I said, I upload a free clip, just giving some tips and techniques. But yeah, if you go right on MrJRelationshipCoach.com, you'll find me there and all my social medias and with a bunch of other free resources as well.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for a great conversation. It has been very, very insightful. I wish you a great day.
Thank you. You too. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Do you struggle to love yourself? Do you find it difficult to say no to others? Do you doubt yourself all the time? You are not alone. And after the 29th of November, you will never feel alone because I'll be there with you. I will help you embrace yourself with compassion, find true connection with yourself, and exude unshakable confidence. Ladies and gentlemen, my book, Wired for Self-Love, is now available on Amazon. Be sure to get your copy. It will be available for just 99 cents on the first week of its availability after it is published on the 29th of November and the week after. All right? So be sure to grab your copy. This book contains the answers that you are finally going to find. Who are you? Who would you be without your limiting beliefs? What could you achieve if you fully believed in yourself and loved yourself and embraced yourself? Drawing upon my personal experience as well as research, this book will guide you through practical steps and exercises to start building an authentic relationship with yourself. Whether you've been struggling with self-esteem, toxic relationships, or lack of focus, Wired for Self-Love will help you overcome your biggest challenges and find everlasting joy. Packed with stories of real people who overcame their addiction to alcohol, to the ones who silenced their inner and outer bullies, to standing up for themselves. This book serves as a thought-provoking guide to help you find your true identity, the courage to be your most confident version. You will let go of your limiting beliefs so that you can become everything you have dreamed about. You will love yourself and embrace your misgivings. You'll use meditation to ground yourself in your truth, overcome procrastination, and make those decisions that you've been putting off. Silence that critic inside you once and for all, and find the confidence to step into your power. Be sure to grab my copy on the 29th of November and onwards. The link is available in the show notes. If by reading this book you come out 1-2% more integrated a person, by which I mean you have embraced everything that you had otherwise pushed away or didn't like about yourself away deep into your subconscious. When you embrace all of that, you become a more integrated person. And if this book makes you 1-2% more integrated after you read it, then Wired for Self-Love has achieved its purpose. Enjoy the read.